Welcome to Unbiased. This is Jeremy, everyday fan for everyday sports to the everyday fan. Man, just wanted to wish you guys a extremely happy belated Easter for those who are still celebrating. But what a night, you know? What a night. Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. Can anyone say Bueller? That's right, Walker Bueller. Okay, let's be honest. Yeah, he's probably heard that one 1,000 times in his life. But tonight, he has to get his dues. Walker Bueller did it. The first complete game shutout of 2022. Look, this is not new history. It's not a perfect game. You know, so technically, stuff has been done better. The purpose of why this is such a big deal and so great is simple. The fact of the matter is that Walker Bueller, for the first time this season, broke what seemed like were broken pitchers. He almost made it seem like baseball was done with itself. As crazy as that sounds, think of it this way. The same manager who let him go 108 pitches tonight pulled Clayton Kershaw out of a seven-inning perfect game. I'm just saying Dave Roberts is developing. He has developed. He knows the season's developing. This is not going to be the first or last or second, et cetera, of perfect games in the world or no hitters or complete game shutouts, et cetera. The reason this is such a big deal is pitchers have been ramping up this year. They've only gone 5, 6, 7 innings. And yeah, there was a lockout. And yes, it did affect how pitchers work. Let's just be honest. They did not get their training in. So all the trainers and all the guys said, these guys need to warm up. They need to use their first two starts as spring training. The problem with that, as a fan, let alone just an advocate for baseball, is that when a starting pitcher doesn't go that long, it just seems just unnatural. It doesn't seem like baseball. I mean, how many times have we heard the stories about how pitchers would go back-to-back, completing game after game, or Madison Bumgarner's 128-pitch game? Again, I know circumstances are a little crazy, but we finally got a complete game this season, and it was a complete game shutout. They're letting pitchers finally pitch. Let's just hope this sets the trend. I mean, look, I realize pitchers get injured easy. I realize that it's been an issue with guys like Jacob DeGrom, one of the best pitchers in baseball, yet can't seem to get on the field. I know even Clayton Kershaw has had back issues over the years. But we want to see the pitchers pitch. That's why they're in the game. And as great as, you know, relievers are and closers are, someone has to start them out. And those guys are supposed to go 5, 6, 7 innings. That's the baseball that we grew up on, sometimes 8 innings. And Walker Bueller went 9 tonight. 9 complete ones with a shutout. Yeah, so it was against the Arizona Diamondbacks, to be fair, for all you out there who are a little rolling your eyes, but it's more about the fact that Walker Bueller, after the 8th inning, goes down past Dave Roberts and says, I'm not coming out. He said he's not coming out. It's a kind of a little bit of a Clayton Kershaw, Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer for you. He's probably one of going to be the next aces in the league for good, if not now. Definitely Cy Young candidate last year, could win it this year. But the fact is, it's more about the fact that it shows that pitchers still have fire. They still have flair, and they still want to play the game of baseball. It's not just about the money. It's not just about doing something that they're getting contractually paid for. It's about the fact of playing that game that they grew up with when they were little, about the fact of what they want to do in their careers to get personal accomplishments that can also benefit the team. It's about a pitcher wanting to be the best. How many times do we see that? How many times does that happen? Not as often anymore. Again, I realize analytics have changed things. Analytics are both good and bad. Pick your fight. You know, I mean, strength and conditioning. Sometimes, again, guys can definitely overwork themselves. And sometimes that's been something that's actually led to their injuries. But these guys finally are starting to get the fire under them. They're actually doing so. They're caring about the game, and they're caring about what they actually want to do with their careers. I mean, take Jock Peterson tonight, who came back with a massive home run leading the league so far and helped the Giants win. Or even take the kindness that we've also seen in baseball, where the Yankees players stopped the Yankees fans because they were throwing trash at the Guardians players. How many times has that actually happened? Or let alone Kyle Schwarber getting mad because Angel Hernandez, the umpire, had a very relatively weird strike zone, and Kyle Schwarber just went crazy. I like the flair in players. I like the fact that they want to play baseball. I'm not saying that they lost it, but I'm saying it seems like it's taken a little while since the lockout to actually get it back. I understand they had the ramp up. I understand that they had to get their bearings under them, but I'm proud of them. Do you know who I'm also interested in? Is I'm interested in the Boston Celtics defense. Come on, guys. They swept the Nets tonight. They did it. They shut down Kevin Durant, one of the best players. This was a team in the Nets that was supposed to go through and destroy and take championships. According to Vegas, they were supposed to be the team. You know, this wasn't Durant just joining the Warriors with the Splash Brothers and Draymond Green. This was Kevin Durant getting his own team together, building it up, and they fail. Now, is it more about the Celtics or more about the Nets? Most people have been focusing on the Nets, and they did. Let's just admit it. Like, you can't be Kyrie Irving and go out and tell people that you didn't have enough cohesion in your team when part of that's your problem and your own fault because you are the one who didn't get vaccinated. Again, whether or not you want to have arguments over vaccination, it's your choice. That's separate. In regards to being a teammate and a team player, he chose not to. So that meant he could not play the home games. That hurts your cohesion. That stops you from actually getting into the groove that you need to as a player and as a team. It's the Nets who traded away James Harden. It's the Nets who kept dangling the concept that Ben Simmons might play. For a guy in Ben Simmons who, think about it, the guy has injuries and potential brain problems, and what do you say? Oh, well, let's just play him because, you know, he might make the fourth game. And yet you are, like, never actually going to play him? What does that do for you in the state of New York? It just creates more hatred towards the guy. So how does that help the player that you traded for? That's just wrong, and it's just crazy, and it's terribly handled by the Nets. But the Celtics are the ones who are moving on. The Celtics are the ones who played marquee defense, who played strong, who played fast, and who played defense that looked like they were the guys from the Celtics age when they won 11 championships. You know, they looked like old Larry Bird time period. They looked like the Celtics who were fighting against the Lakers. They looked like those different eras of the Celtics. So props to them. Congratulations for moving on. Probably Steve Nash is going to get fired. We'll see what happens in the offseason with Brooklyn. But good for the Celtics. And congratulations. Other key news, though, is the Raptors beat the 76ers, moving the series to 3-2. Now, there's no way do I think that the Raptors are going to get two more games on the 76ers. By far, that's not going to happen. Let's just be honest. That's almost impossible with the way it's going. But I'm curious, will a team in the 76ers who have been doing well until Joel Embiid hurt his thumb. Now, he took his game-winning shot with his thumb injured, but it was a game-winning shot. Once again, let's not forget that. This is a seven-game series. This is not a one-and-done game series. All I'm saying is that if Toronto keeps pushing these 76ers, we're going to have to see where they go. We don't know what James Harden and the 76ers are going to produce. It seems like that James Harden-Ben Simmons trade has failed on both ends so far. I mean, I guess Ben Simmons has an upside, but sometimes James Harden looks like he can pass the ball to anyone he wants at any given time. And other times, the man looks like he forgot where Philadelphia is. So, how are we going to know what they're going to do? Well, if Toronto pushes them too hard, when the 76ers move on to the next series, the Sixers, they might just collapse. It's on the back of Joel Embiid. We know he's gotten injured over and over and over again, but this was his year that he was in the competition for the MVP. Whether you believe it was Giannis, Jokic, or Embiid, I'm just saying that this was supposed to be his year in the big fight. And he has fought, and I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just curious to see where they're going to go now that they are hitting a little speed bumps. It's not that perfect thing. I mean, let's just be honest. The Sixers, to me, are a mess. I understand that they could go far in the playoffs, but the Sixers and the Nets make the trade, and neither trade seems to be perfect. I mean, first off, if I'm Doc Rivers, I don't trade away my son-in-law. I know it's awkward, probably awkward to play for your father-in-law to begin with, but you traded him away? That's even worse. Just saying for anyone out there who may be considering that. Think about your family dynamics and consider that for the future. But this Sixers team keeps trying and trying and failing and failing. And unless Embiid's thumb can come through and Harden can actually become the Harden that seemed to travel five steps, actually get a few good shots in, and make assists that were out of your mind, they're not going to complete what they want to go to. They're not going to get that championship. Differently, though, would be the man who's recovering. And that's Luka Doncic. Mavs won tonight, beating the Jazz. Once again, we have another 3-2 series. Congrats to the Mavs. I think they've been one of the underdog teams of the season. I think that people have seen the strength, but there's been so much look upon Phoenix and upon these other teams that the Mavs have actually gone under the radar, which typically doesn't happen. But I actually think that's helped them. I actually give props to Luka Doncic for actually listening to Jason Kidd, who talked about his weight and his teamwork and his capability and what he was doing. Luka listened. He lost the weight. He built his athleticism over the season. And he is playing fine form like Luka Doncic. Now, the kid's young. I wonder if he was an older player, if he would have done the same thing and listened to Jason Kidd, who, let's be fair, is a star of himself and has a reputation that's worth listening to. But not all players would do this, so. At the same time, if you look at the other end, Luka played as a star in Europe, winning championships, etc., etc. So I give him credit for humbling himself, listening to Jason Kidd, doing what was needed to be done. These Mavs, they actually won games without Luka. Now they can win games with Luka. And when they do that, they are a threat that's on a roll. And that is something that could be feared in their upcoming series. Because once again, it's one of these awkward series where the Jazz, there's no way they're coming back. Which, when Rudy Gobert is supposed to be your guy, Donovan Mitchell, might be time to readjust the Jazz. They are no longer tooting their own horn or pitching it correctly. I think that they might need to, let's just admit it, guys. They need to change their team all about. Anyways, I'm just saying that is definitely a team to keep a lookout. But it brings me to the question. Is the West really as strong as we thought it was? We've known all season that the East is chaos. Who would get first, second, third, Miami, Brooklyn, and the Celtics, etc., etc. But the West looked like this all-powerful Phoenix, you know, Golden State, Memphis team. Like, it looked like everything was going to be this all-powerful thing. Well, look how messed up the West is. I realize people step it up in the playoffs, and I understand that. But if you're the fan, most fans don't need to sweat. Unless you're like someone from the Jazz. But I'm just saying, I don't know that the West is as strong as it was. The Lakers won the championship, but don't forget that it was actually Milwaukee who won it last year. The Lakers just won it in the bubble. Look what happened to the Lakers this year. So I'm curious to assess the West, how it is. Well, thanks, guys, for taking a listen. You know me, I never want to leave without making a movie suggestion. After basketball's going and firing on all cylinders, I would suggest an old school movie, Pistol Pete. You'll see who it is. Obviously, it's about Pete Maravich, but it's well done. It's fun. Not going to be the movie of the year, but definitely a movie worth watching, especially in this time of basketball chaos. Because everyone knows that you got to get your credit to Pistol Pete Maravich. Have a good one. Once again, this is Jeremy, just an everyday fan for everyday fans. Speak up, guys. Got to hear your voice. Because the everyday fan is someone who's worth listening to and worth speaking to and always worth giving it a year or two. You're listening to Unbiased.